If you'd turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, we're beginning a new series this morning on the life of Abraham, and then this evening we'll begin a new series on really the order of salvation. So as we begin this series on the life of Abraham, before we get into the book of Genesis, we'll have a bit of a history lesson here from Adam to Abraham in the book of 1 Chronicles, reading chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 27. Beginning then our reading of God's holy word in 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the word of God. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Diphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshisha, Kittim, and Radanim. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Reama, and Sabteca. The sons of Reama were Sheba and Dedan. The Avarite, Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtuhim, Pathrusim, Kashluhim, from whom came the Philistines and the Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite. The Avadite, the Zamorite, and the Hamathite. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jerah, Hadaram, Uzal, Diklah, Ebal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serig, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, who is Abraham. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. I wonder how many of you have heard of the site Ancestry.com? Probably many of you have. It's a site you can go and you can submit your information, even your DNA, and you can determine with their research where your ancestors are from. Maybe who you're related to, where they came from. A lot in our country came from Europe and other places. So it's an interesting thing, isn't it, to know where you came from. It helps to build your identity. Well, in 460 BC, roughly the time that 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles were written, they could not just get on the web and go to Ancestry.com to determine their ancestry. But I would submit to you that they had something much better. Because you go to Ancestry.com, and it's interesting, there's a disclaimer. We do not make any promises about the quality, accuracy, reliability, or availability of the Ancestry content. Why not? Errors can be made. Errors in research, errors in DNA. But here we have something even greater than any kind of test that could be done today with all our technology. We have the Word of God. God's Word is from a God who is perfect, who does not lie, who cannot err. And so what we see here listed in these first 27 verses of 1 Chronicles is a true and accurate ancestry account. And the people that this was written to, they needed to hear this. This was written in roughly 460 BC when the exiles, those who were exiled in the northern kingdom to Assyria, those who were exiled in the southern kingdom to Babylon, were coming back to the land. And the question is, who are we? We've been out of our land. Who are we, and are we still God's people? Has God forgotten about us? And this is something I think that they needed to hear, but we need to hear in every age. We need to be reminded of who God is, of how God is in control of all things, and even when we are going through the most difficult times, to know that God has not forgotten his people. Because even when it seems like God is absent or distant, God is the one who is working all things out, isn't he? He's in control of all things. Now, the book of 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles was originally one book. A little bit of context here. The Hebrew title that is given to this one book is Davari Hayayim, which simply is two words, words and days. So the book is the words of the days. And this book, 1 and 2 Chronicles, is the words of the days of everything that happened to the people of Israel from the beginning of creation to the time in which it was written. In fact, this entire book summarizes the first, or all 50 chapters of Genesis in the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles. It's a summary of what has happened to God's people. And it picks up on themes that we find both in Samuel and in Kings, but it brings in things that are not there. And it does so in a different way. It brings things in order to encourage the people of God. So it doesn't dwell so much on some of the negative things, although they're there. But it's constantly going back to remember who you are. Remember that God has not forgotten you. Remember the covenant that he has made. A covenant is an agreement between two or more people. And so God makes covenants with people. He makes agreements with them. This book is the third largest book that we have in the Bible after the book of Psalms and Isaiah. And it's interesting that it was divided into two books, 1 and 2 Chronicles, during the time of the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. They divided it into two books, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and the name Chronicles was given to these books by Jerome, a Bible translator, and picked up by Luther in his German Bible. And so this is how we have these two books and these two names today. But as I mentioned earlier, these were written roughly around 460 BC, a time when the Israelites were coming back into the land. And they needed to know. They needed to know who they were. They needed that ancestry report, didn't they? And that's what these first 27 verses give us, the ancestry from Adam all the way to Abraham. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles summarizes all 50 chapters of Genesis. But here's what is very interesting. These first 27 verses in chapter 1 that we're going to look at, from Adam to Abraham, summarize in 27 verses the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So we have here in 27 verses roughly 2,000 years of history in summary form. So I was going to joke with you and say that I'm preaching the first 11 chapters of Genesis this morning, but in essence I somewhat am in summary form. But as we look at these 27 verses, we need to remember that the history of the world is really the history of God's covenantal working with his people. The history of the world is the history of God's covenantal work with his people. And we'll notice three things out of these 27 verses. First, in verses 1 through 4 up to Noah, the history of all peoples. In verses 5 through 23, the history of all nations. And then in verses 24 through 27, the history of God's people. Well, let's look first at the history of all people in verses 1 through 4 of 1 Chronicles. Now, these verses roughly coincide to Genesis chapters 1 through 5. In fact, you'll find a summary in Genesis chapter 5 that summarizes these very people. And notice, not surprising, who the chronicler starts out with: Adam. There's no other human to start out with before Adam. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. He breathed life into him, put him in the garden. He saw that it was not good, that man is alone, created Eve. But we know what happened, don't we? They sinned. They were exiled, as it were, from the garden. Cast out. And they started to have children. Now, notice only one of their children are mentioned here. But it's important to understand who's not here. Cain and Abel are not listed here. Why? Well, we know Cain killed Abel. He had no children. But what about Cain? We're told he had children. But he's not listed here because guess what? None of his family survived the flood. It was only Noah and his family that made it through the flood. So we can rightly say that there is no one on the earth today who can trace any lineage to Cain, because his entire family was wiped out. We have Seth, then, that son that was given to Adam and Eve. We have Enoch, and if you remember, Enoch was the one who walked with God and then was not, for God took him. In fact, Enoch, along with Elijah, are the only two individuals we have recorded who did not taste death but were directly taken into heaven. We have Methuselah, who is the longest recorded living person in the Bible. 969 years he lived. And then we have Noah, Methuselah's grandson, the son of Lamech. Noah, who we know is associated with the time of the flood. Noah, we're told by Peter, was a preacher of righteousness. He built the ark at the command of God when it had not yet rained, because he had faith. Now, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He probably preached for about 120 years, and the only converts he had were his wife, his three sons, and their wives. But they all went into the ark and were saved from the flood. Now, up until this point, Adam to Noah, we can all trace our lineage, can't we? There's not one of us and no person in the world who does not trace their lineage back to Adam through Noah. In fact, if you've ever filled out a form, you know there are places on these forms that say race. And then they have all these lists. And I almost want to pick other, say son of Adam, see 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Because race really assumes that there are different races. But that's not a biblical view. There's one race, the human race. There are different nations. There are different places where people have lived and different characteristics, but there are not different races. And so when we understand this, how can racism come in anywhere in our lives? We all share the same DNA. So when you look at others, do you look at them in with this paradigm that we all share this common humanity? There's only one race. Well, you ought to. There should be no place for racism whatsoever in the Christian life. In fact, Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Has not God created us? We share the same DNA, but we also share something else. We share the same disease. We're connected to Adam. Adam sinned. And we're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that when Adam sinned, and all fell. So we have the same need, don't we? Every human has this need, a need for redemption. Because we've fallen from, as it were, the perfection, the holiness and righteousness in which we were first created. So that's the history of all people. Every person who has ever lived can trace their history in those first four verses to Noah. But now we come to a separation. Not a separation of races, but a separation of nations. Beginning with Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So we see our second point, the history of all nations. And this parallels Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 11. If you read that, this is a summary of it. Now, I'm not going to focus on all of these individual names, but we see that Noah's son Japheth is listed first. One of his sons, Javan, there is the son through whom the Greeks came. Another son, Kittim, is associated with Cyprus. Through Japheth are really all of those who traveled north and west, and so we get European descent through Japheth. But the most time is spent dealing with Ham. In fact, verses 8 through 16 deal with Ham. And you'll notice probably some familiar names here. Canaan and the Canaanites, if you're familiar with the Old Testament. But the word Mizarim is an ancient word for Egypt. In fact, in the ESV, it is translated as Egypt. So we see Egypt, we see Canaan, we see the Philistines, we see the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites. These names should be familiar to you if you've read through the book of Genesis. Who were these people? But the enemies of the people of God. Now, it's interesting, if you remember the story of Noah and his children, it was Ham who went in after the flood. Noah gets drunk. Noah is indecent. And Ham goes in, and instead of covering his father up, he goes and tells his brother Japheth and Shem, "Look at Dad." And they come in and cover him up. And Ham is cursed because of it. We see this line of Ham out of which comes the people that will ultimately stand against the people of God through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are listed here. Nimrod was the founder of Babylon. Cush is North Africa. As I've mentioned, Mizraim is Egypt. That's where these individuals are coming from, these nations. But finally, in the list of his three sons, we read of Shem. He begins that in verse 17 and lists the sons of Shem. Elam, that is listed as ancient Persia. Asher is Assyria. It is from this line that the Syrians come. The Chaldeans, the Arabians, and the Jews come from this line, obviously through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But one name of note that I always love is Peleg. In his days, the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now, there are some who think that this terminology in his days, the earth was divided, means or references the dividing of the continents. Perhaps you've heard that. That at that time, the continents were one, and in his day, the continents divided. I'm no geologist, but I think in the context here, it probably points to the fact that the earth was divided by languages. Remember what happens in Genesis chapter 11? Remember, the people gather together and say, "We're going to make a name for ourselves," and they build the Tower of Babel. And what does God do? He says, "No. They're glorying in themselves. I'm going to come down and I'm going to divide them." How? By language. And he did so. So here we see both the division of people into nations. We see the division of people into various languages. And this is all historical fact. This is how things happened. This is the Word of God. So we've looked at the history of all people. We see the history of all nations, but then we come to the history of God's people. You see, if Adam is the common father to us all, and Noah's sons, Japheth, Ham, and Shem, are the father of the many nations that we see in existence, it is Abraham who is the father of God's people, in that it is by faith, the same faith that Abraham had, that we then come into and become God's people. But what all of this is telling the people to whom this was written to and to us is that God has not been absent at all. Notice here, God lists individual names. God deals with individual people. And I want to encourage you with this. Just as much as God knew all of these individuals and their names, not only knew them, but predestined them to live at the time they did, so God knows who you are. There's no one God does not know, because he's the creator. But the question becomes then, do you know God by faith in Christ? Are you counted as a person that is in with believing Abraham and counted as one of God's people? Now, I've said God hasn't been absent. He's been dealing with his people all along by covenant. Now, I mentioned earlier that a covenant is simply an agreement between two people. Covenants were made in the ancient Near East, but God works through covenants. He makes covenants, or these agreements, with his people. He made a covenant with Adam in the garden. Adam is listed here first. That covenant that said, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You may eat of any other tree." We call this commonly the covenant of works, and Adam failed to keep that covenant. And so God brought in the covenant of grace that is ultimately going to be fulfilled, and has been then fulfilled from our vantage point, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we come from Adam to Noah, we see God makes a covenant with Noah. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, we read these words: "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." God makes this covenant. He says, "I'm making a covenant with, as it were, you and with every living creature." Drop down to Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. "Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, 'And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I shall establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth.' And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth.'" So God made a covenant with Noah and with creation, that he would not send a flood again, that days would continue, that he would not destroy the earth. And then as we come here to Abraham, and we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, this line of Abraham from Shem to Abraham, we're going to understand as we go through the life of Abraham that God indeed makes a covenant with Abraham. But notice in verse 27, two names are given for Abraham: Abram and Abraham. Now God changes Abram's name to Abraham, and the name Abram means righteous father, but Abraham means father of many nations. So already God is showing his people, look, I am going to make Abraham, the father of the faith, the father of many nations. Not simply one nation, but many nations. Many nations as represented through the sons of Noah, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. But ultimately, this covenant of grace is not fulfilled in Abraham, but it is fulfilled in Abraham's seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's so fascinating here about 1 Chronicles is that if you were to look at 1 Chronicles verses 1 through 4 and read those and stop at Shem and then pick back up in verse 24 after Shem and start with Arphaxad and read to Abraham, you would see a mirror of what is listed as the genealogy of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 3. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 3, let's look at that briefly. And you'll see many of these names, but you'll see them read in reverse order. Luke chapter 3, we'll begin with Abraham in verse 34 of Luke chapter 3. "The son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Kenan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God." So this is a list of names given in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And when you read it, you may think, great, a list of names. What am I going to do with that? But I hope you see the plan here of the chronicler. He wants to show that this is real history and that God has been at work in this, and all of it ultimately points to the work that he's doing in and through the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ who, like us, is a son of Adam. And he has to be, because he has to be human in order to pay for the sins of humanity. Right? But it's also then the Lord Jesus Christ, who is pictured by the ark that Noah builds. Remember, in the ark, God puts them in the ark and he seals them up. And so Christ is that ark. If we're in him, the floods that are going to come, the floods of God's wrath, are not going to touch us. But then in Abraham, we have that promise of redemption that we looked at when we preached through the book of Galatians. That those who are heirs of eternal life are heirs with faithful Abraham. Because we have a like faith that Abraham had. Abraham looked to the future. The author of Hebrews tells us that he didn't look for an earthly home, but he looked for a heavenly home. He looked for a future in and through Christ. And so we need to look for that future as well. So this book was written to those who were returning from exile, those who needed to be reminded of who they were, that God had not abandoned them, but that they were to come back to him, to return to him. And in doing so, the author of 1 Chronicles gives in the first 27 verses this history of the world, and shows that the history of the world is really a history of God's covenant dealings with and for his people. What we see here really is that all men, all nations, and especially the church of God are being directed to one end, and one end alone: the goal of redemption. Redemption of those who sinned in Adam to be brought through Christ into the redemptive inheritance that believing Abraham had. That's the purpose. That's what the point is here. That's what we're being driven to. And so we might think of this as the ultimate ancestry test. But the question becomes, are you represented in the genealogies here? Now, I can guarantee that you're represented in two of them. All men are represented in Adam to Noah. Same DNA. I can also guarantee that you're either out of Japheth, Ham, or Shem. Probably most who come from a European descent come from Japheth. But what about Abraham? I'm not talking about physical descent, but I'm talking about faith. See, those who are children of Abraham are those who have true faith. And so we don't need a physical DNA test. We need a faith DNA test. But how do you test yourself? Is there a little kit you can buy and prick yourself and determine? No. But there are questions that you can ask yourself. See, Jesus in John 3 said, you must be born again even to see the kingdom of heaven, much less to enter into it. Galatians 6:15, Paul says you must be a new creature. And so I submit these questions to you. Ask yourself this. Think about this. Do you believe in God as he's revealed himself in his word? Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Do you believe in all of his word, that this is the word of God? And do you trust in Christ alone as satisfaction for your sins? That he alone is able to and has paid for the sins of his people. And then the third question to ask yourself is, do you hate your sin? Even though you do sin, do you hate it and want to turn from it? Do you want to repent? Because brothers and sisters, if you can answer yes to these questions, then that should give you a great joy. Because you see that God, by his Spirit, has worked true faith in your heart. And then you can trust, as we saw earlier in the Heidelberg Catechism, in that great promise of the forgiveness of sins. But the reality is that there are those who are part of the lineage of Adam, and there are those who come from either Japheth, Ham, or Shem, who do not have the faith of Abraham. And remember what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. He talks about his second coming, and he says, when I come again, it will be like the days of Noah. Noah was building the ark, Noah was preaching righteousness, and no one would listen. And the floods came, and it was too late. And they were swept away. And I want to make sure that all who hear me by God's grace and His Spirit are not swept away in God's wrath and judgment. And so maybe even today you can't answer these three questions. Well, then I plead with you to plead with God. God, change my heart. Change my mind. Give me eyes to see. Give me hope in Christ. Cause me to hate my sin and to turn from it. But again, remember, if you're looking to Christ, then what a glorious and wonderful hope we have. That we know, one, where we've come from, but more importantly, we know where we're going. To spend eternity with God in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that, God, you are a God who is intimately involved in all of history. As we've seen these names listed for us, we know, God, that you were intimately involved in the lives of each of them. It's no mistake that they were born. And it's no mistake, God, that we have been born. And God, we thank you that you have shown us through your word that you did not leave us exiled from your presence, but through your covenant of grace, through that promise of the salvation we have in Christ, you are drawing us back in. You are bringing us to yourself. And our God, we do pray that you will give us and increase our assurance and the hope that we have in Christ, knowing, God, that if we do know you and trust in you as you've revealed yourself in your word, if we are looking to Christ alone to satisfy for our sins, and if we are desiring to turn from our sins, that is not because we've done something, but because you have worked in us, regenerating us and working in us by your Spirit. And now, God, calls us all to grow in the grace and the knowledge that we have. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.